It's all going to zero against Bitcoin.
It's going up forever, Warren.
You're against Bitcoin. You're against freedom.
Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, cover breaking news, dramatic warfare. We'll be your guide through the separation of money and state. Special episode talking about Bitcoin's incentives and how they're irresistible, and essentially we're gonna win because beautiful incentives, but the best incentives. Article breaking news came out from Reuters to quote the headline: "Bruised by stock market, Chinese rush into banned Bitcoin." Right, and the stock market has been going down these last couple, like this last week or so, because Donald Trump has been doing so well in the primaries. So very interesting news how, you know, Chinese people are fleeing into Bitcoin. And it kind of reminds me of this story when the China ban happened. I have a buddy of mine lives in mainland China. And I told him, and I was like, hey, like, are you worried about this? And like, he told me like a thick, like Chinese accent, like Mandarin accent. I remember he was like, what doesn't kill Bitcoin makes it stronger. And I was like, holy shit. And then that's like when I came to the realization that, you know, regardless of where you're from, what country you happen to be born in, what your nationality is, we all speak the same Bitcoin language. It's this language that unifies a lot of us, right? So we're going to talk about that today. It's going to be a great show. And speaking of the Overton window shifting, I have a clip for you guys in the beginning about the co-founder of Reddit explaining what Bitcoin is on the Colbert show. So, you know, things are definitely moving. They're shifting. People are waking up to this reality, but the signal here is really, despite the ban, by you can make the argument the most oppressive, you know, government in the world. Despite that, Bitcoin's incentives rule the day, and it's very, very powerful. I really want to focus on that. So we're gonna talk about that today. But before we start the show, I want to bring up my legendary co-host, Optimistic Optimus Fields. How you doing, bro?
I am doing wonderful. Shouts out to everyone in the chat that hit the poll and is having a good morning. And unfortunately, there's people that aren't having a good morning. So good morning, everyone. We are back. We're live. It's good to be here, man. As I was having a conversation with our guest today.
Are Sean you using Clark, the right mic?
I don't know. Probably not.
Did you tap it? Yeah, you are using the right mic.
I just changed it.
We were just talking with our guest today.
Unacceptable.
It's hard not to have a good morning when you're on the Bitcoin standard, when you're a Bitcoiner. In the face of everything going on in clown world, it's so awesome just being a Bitcoiner. It makes life so good. Anyways, let's bring in our guest. Shout out to Sean Clark, a fellow content creator. It's good to have
we're rare breed, Bitcoin-only content creator. There's not that many of us.
Confirmed.
There's not that many of us.
And such what you were saying before, like Bitcoin everywhere around the world, it just aligns people to truth. And when you go there and when you actually see it and understand, you're like, okay, like everything else does not make any sense. And it takes a while to unpack that mind virus, but people do get there through a Bitcoin standard for sure.
100%. One day they'll get there.
100%. Yeah, so it's going to be a great show. What are you going to talk about during the culture, Opti?
Well, I'm just going to tee Sean up so he can do some rants for us. I have this Jack Mahler's clip. I know you just did a video on it. We haven't played it on our show yet, so we'll play it for you guys, and then we'll tee up Sean about everything going on with the World Economic Forum, Jamie Dimon, you know, the SEC debacles. Hopefully we can hit everything, but I just want to tee Sean up. Let's have him rant for us today. You know, maybe we can have another day where I don't do anything on the show. Those are always great days for me.
Your video yesterday with Nolan was on fire. For whoever's watching, if you haven't watched it, watch it. It's incredible.
Yeah, Nolan killed it. Nolan fucking crushes it, dude. That's what happened. Man. I was saying this yesterday. Like, you spend time down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, and you just start making connections that, like, that maybe, like, you know, you didn't see before or whatnot.
Yeah.
So it's extremely exciting. It really is. Anyways, all right, guys, no more delay. Let's jump straight into the show. We have a lot to talk about today. Let's check it out.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Is your Bitcoin in cold storage really secure? Is your seed phrase
really secure. Stampseed's do-it-yourself kit has everything you need to hammer your seed words into commercial-grade titanium plates instead of just writing them on paper. Don't store your generational wealth on paper. Paper is prone to water damage, fire damage. You want to put your generational wealth on one of the strongest metals on planet Earth, titanium. Your words are actually stamped into this metal plate with this hammer and these letter stamps. And once your words are in, they aren't going anywhere. No risk of the plate breaking apart and pieces falling everywhere. Titanium stamped seeds will survive nearly triple the heat produced by a house fire. They're also crush-proof, waterproof, non-corrosive, and time-proof, all things that paper is not, allowing you to hodl your Bitcoin with peace of mind for the long haul. Stamp your seed on Stampseed.
We made it incredibly easy for you guys. You could scan the QR code on your screen right now. It'll take you directly to the Stampseed website where you can use promo code SIMPLY to get 15% off anything on their site. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 39,665 sats per dollar, 2,521. Block height, 827,339. Blocks due halving, 12,661. Halving estimate, April 20th, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 4,843. Capacity value, $192 million. Realized monetary inflation, 1.74%. The market capitalization of Bitcoin, $777 billion. Bitcoin versus gold market cap, 5.64%. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is just getting started. I was talking about the Overton window shift in the beginning. This is kind of a big deal, right? You're seeing more and more of Bitcoin being talked about, not so much in our corner, in the Bitcoin corner, in the Bitcoin echo chamber, but outside of the Bitcoin echo chamber. You had Tim Pool talking about how, you know, the dollar's going to shit, he's going to go to Bitcoin, right? You know, you had Alex Jones, like, whatever, however you feel about him, right? He is a mainstream content creator. You know, Max Kaiser going on there talking about El Salvador, talking about how, you know, Alex Jones should have kept those 10,000 Bitcoin, right? So, you know, it's a big shift in the Overton window. It's really important that this happens, to be honest. So, kind of a big deal. I'm going to play you guys the clip. And I used to watch this. I remember, like, when before I was a Bitcoiner, when I was a normie, I used to kind of watch this show.
When it was actually funny?
Yeah, before, you know, the whole, like, dancing vaccines and shit. Like, before, like, because I didn't know, like, what you kind of, like, oh, man, we'll go down this.
Uh-oh, is Nico this route?
We'll go down this route. Like, you start to realize that, like, a lot of these shows, like, it's a crafted, controlled narrative, right? Like, they're trying to sell you either, like, a music artist or there's, like, a project. There's nothing wrong with that. But they're a lot of the things that they say regarding to politics, a lot to world news, it's necessarily not accurate a lot of the time. They're just trying to sell you on a certain narrative. And I think that this is where independent media, that's why I believe it's becoming so popular, right? Like, if you're not beholden to these giant multinational corporations, you have a lot more freedom on what you can say. And that's why I believe, like, the rise of independent media is just getting started. We're in, like, the infancy stage of what media is going to evolve into the next 10 to 20 years. And it's extremely exciting. But, you know, looking back to these legacy shows that have been around you know, for decades, right? Saturday Night Live, it's been for decades. And I remember I was watching Saturday Night Live with Sophie and her friend. And I come home and I'm like, why are you guys watching that? You know, and again, I used to love Saturday Night Live, but, like, now you're looking at it from, you know, like a more awakened sphere. And you're looking at that, you're like, dude, they add fake laughs. Like, could you imagine if, like, Opti cracked a joke and it was like, like, it would be like, you know, it'd be kind of weird. It would be weird. Like, it would be weird, right? So, like, I think,
yeah,
like,
I only laugh at my jokes, Nico. Let's be clear here.
Hold on.
No. This is the real soundboard.
So, yeah, I mean, like, it is kind of strange, but, like, it's a weird time that we're living in, right? Because obviously these shows have the production quality. They have all, like, the right content and whatever. But then again, you have you know, Joe Rogan is blowing the show out of the water. And Joe Rogan is like one guy and one producer, right? So like, I really believe that's like the future of media. Like, I really believe we're heading into that direction. So anyways, regardless of that, Simply needs a laugh track. That's we should find one. We should like we should just
Dude, add literally, laughs. You're literally talking about Stephen Colbert and his laugh track. Like, and like, we need
fun,
one
to make fun of it, bro. to make fun of it because it's hilarious. Like, but like maybe we just record ourselves, Opti, and be like, ho 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 ho. No.
I'll do it for yourself. I'll find Chrissy Lagarde laughing, and that'll be our laugh track.
Okay. All right.
Wait. do we laugh at Opti or with Opti? That's the question. It's the
same.
Knows.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Goes both ways. All right, let's check out this clip.
Tell me about initialized capital and cryptocurrency.
It's kind of quiet, Nico.
Blockchain, or I will walk off this stage right now.
Wow.
So what? Why cryptocurrency? Why not currency? Why not money? You know, people will spend it.
Yeah. Well. So what this does is actually, it's a fuel for a potentially new internet. And things like Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, are an opportunity for us to have a store of value that is not backed by a single country. And I think for a lot of us, that may seem kind of silly because we trust that the US is still going to be a successful country in 10 or 20 years. But if we can
make it through the next three, I think we're going to be fine.
But there is a... There's a very real need.
They got people on a piano for the soundboard, bro.
Bloodless revolution in Armenia.
We gotta level up.
But in so many states, there is uncertainty about government and money, and people see their life savings disappear. There is a very real value to having a currency that, as volatile as things like Bitcoin are still actually potentially less volatile than some of these states that see hyperinflation and everything else. And we sort of take for granted the fact that we all have bank accounts and we think that we can move this money here and there. But for so many people in the world to have actually the security of knowing that like what is yours, and because it is now digital, could be transferred with you wherever you're going, is actually a pretty empowering thing.
Good luck.
Dude, and yeah, I mean, he was kind of dismissive about it towards the end, Simply Bitcoin Night Show.
That's still pretty incredible, hey, to be able to be there. And some people are going to hear that message, so not everybody's going to hear it straight away, but it's a pretty good touch point.
Yeah. And again, like, talk about shift of the Overton window, talk about, you know, these things that were not this is not acceptable conversation, right? And then all of a sudden it's being talked about, you know, on the Colbert Show. Where are we going to be 5 years from now? Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's a, you know, all of this is a terrible explanation. Cowardly path won't say the state is ripping us off by XX. Right. Thank you. Our chat is very lively today. Stamp seed. Can't wait to watch this clip in 10 years. Right. Exactly. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on all this, brother?
Yeah. Well, just kind of touching on the breaking the echo chamber we talk about all the time. And like Sean was saying, you know, maybe it wasn't the best explanation, but it is a touch point for people. And it is very interesting that this is happening on Colbert's show. I don't know what their numbers are and whether people still watch the show, but it is, you know, on the mainstream media, and it's good to see that these conversations are happening. But does Reddit even allow Bitcoin on their platform anymore? Didn't they do it for like a little bit? Like, I don't get why was he on.
They have like a Bitcoin channel.
Yeah, no, but like sending tips, like I don't get why he was talking about it personally. Maybe I have to watch the context.
Because it's not like companies aren't really kind of incentivized to like do that. Like, because like think about it, like the super chats on YouTube, as much as I love them, YouTube takes like a big percentage of the pie. If you have a QR code, it's peer to peer. Like, you know, like what incentive do they have to adopt these types of technologies if it's not really, you know, they don't really stand to gain a lot. But I mean, they could take the path of like Lightning, where like perhaps they kind of develop a Lightning. Yeah, but could you see these companies do this? Maybe. But maybe they could develop a Lightning wallet, and then they, you know, they take some of the fees there. But it's going to dwarf compared to what they have now with the current system. So I don't think platforms like Reddit, Twitter, you know, they're not really incentivized to adopt something like Bitcoin, in my opinion.
Yeah, and just before I pass it over to Sean, get his thoughts again. It just goes to show, though, we've been saying this for a while, that Bitcoin is crossing the Rubicon into mainstream consciousness. And so, like, you know, maybe the explanation wasn't the best, but it does show that this is going to be a defining conversation moving forward. I think everyone will eventually have to have a stance either for or against Bitcoin. And especially once the price goes up this year, probably next year, to like have a real blow off top, you're gonna see the FOMO in Bitcoin and the conversation around Bitcoin, just it's gonna explode. And hopefully, you know, more people go on these shows and actually spread the signal instead of having these like lackluster explanations of Bitcoin. But hey, you know, Bitcoin's taken over the world. As long as they go on and butcher Bitcoin on mainstream media, it means that us three have a job. So continue spreading the signal and we will correct it.
Yeah, absolutely. John, what's your take?
Well, a couple of things they said there, like when they were talking about the banks, if they last 10 or 20 years, and then Colbert comes in and said they just need to get through the next 3 years, that may get a couple of people to be able to think, hey, what's going on here, and incentivize. Why is even Larry Fink calling Bitcoin a flight to quality? When all these things are happening all the time, it's just more and more touch points, and they'll come over to YouTube. YouTube's the second largest search engine in the world. So as the more and more Bitcoin-only content gets out there, people realize there's different options out there and they will start to study it. So I think it's a pretty good start into mainstream media. And obviously, like, we want safety in whoever, like a Bitcoin-only person up there on stage, someone like Michael Saylor, but different strokes for different folks. So just if the conversation is allowed more and more on mainstream media, it should bring people back over, and it's more important now than ever. And what Nico was saying is people are going to have to take a stance on Bitcoin, either for or against it. If they're against it, it only comes from ignorance or being incentivized, like Elizabeth Warren, Jamie Dimon, not to be for Bitcoin.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, and we're going to talk about the, you know, Bitcoin's incentives and how they stay winning today. That's like kind of like a theme of the show. And I think that everyone eventually, even if you're politically motivated, you're going to have to bow down to the king. You know, I think that's an inevitability, you know, and some people are going to take the orange pill a lot faster than the others. And the people that take the orange pill faster are going to benefit from it. And this includes governments, by the way. This isn't just only individuals. But anyways, very, very exciting times. Just getting started. I see Opti smiling. I'm going to make him full screen.
No, I'm looking at the chat. Shouts out conformatists. good savage comment. The chat just cracks me up, man. Just keep it going.
Keep it going. All right, guys, let's get to the news. We have a lot to talk about today. Let's check it out. Here we go.
I want to give a shout out to our sponsor. Have you ever wanted to get into Bitcoin mining and don't know where to start? That's why I want to introduce you to Scott's Build a Mine Bootcamp. He will show you how to build your own Bitcoin mine, how to get the project funded, how to get your facility filled with miners as quickly as possible. With a little luck and by putting all his techniques and strategies to work that he's developed mining Bitcoin for the last 6 years, you could be mining 5 million Satoshis per day or 0.05 Bitcoin in less than 3 months. On the free webinar, he will give you a high-level roadmap that will help you get on your way to building, owning, and operating your own Bitcoin mining farm. Begin your mining journey today. Register for the free webinar now. Click the link in the description of the video below or contact Scott directly on Telegram using his handle @offeredscott and learn how to mine those precious, precious Satoshis.
The Daily News.
I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Foundation Devices. It's self-custody done right. They built a premium grade hardware wallet called Passport right here in the US. It's fully open source and verifiable. It's the most intuitive Bitcoin wallet designed with a UX reminiscent of a simple feature phone. So you will know how to navigate it and use it the moment you pick it up. Get your Bitcoin off exchanges and into your own hands in just a few minutes. Experience the peace of mind that comes with taking ownership of your own keys. After a massive sellout during Bitcoin Miami 2023, the Passport is back in stock at foundationdevices.com. Bitcoin only, open source verifiable, completely air gap security model, gorgeous design craft, premium grade materials. If you're thinking about getting your Bitcoin off exchanges, this is the one for you. Check out the Passport link in the show notes below to learn more.
Chat, who is Scott? I mean, he's a friend of ours. We did a show from the floor of the mining conference that he threw, and he's incredible. And he knows how to teach people how to mine Bitcoin. So that's who Scott is, and he is coming on Simply Bitcoin, by the way, very, very soon. Also made incredibly easy for you guys. You can scan the QR code on your screen right now. It'll take you directly to the Foundation Devices website, where you can get yourself a Passport hardware wallet. Anyways, this is what I want to talk about today. Just an example of Bitcoin's incentives and how they stay winning. So the headline for audio listeners is "Bruised by Stock Market, Chinese Rush into Banned Bitcoin." Goes on to say, Dylan Run, a Shanghai-based finance sector executive, started moving a bit of his money into cryptocurrencies in early 2023 when he realized that the Chinese economy and its stock market were going downhill. Crypto trading and mining has been banned in China since 2021. Run used bank cards issued by small rural commercial banks to buy cryptocurrencies through gray market dealers and capped each transaction at 7,000 to escape scrutiny. Goes on to say, Bitcoin is a safe haven like gold. He now owns roughly 1 million yuan worth of cryptocurrencies, accounting for half of his investment portfolio, compared with just 40% in Chinese equities. His crypto investments are up 45%. Chinese stock market, meanwhile, has been sinking for 3 years. Like Run, more and more Chinese investors are using creative ways to own Bitcoin and other crypto assets that they believe are safer than investing in crumbling stock and property markets at home. They operate in a gray area. While cryptocurrency is banned in mainland China, there are strict controls on capital movement across the border, and people still able to trade tokens such as Bitcoin on crypto exchanges such as OKX and Binance, or through over-the-counter channels. Mainland investors can also open overseas bank accounts to buy crypto assets. After Hong Kong's open endorsement of digital assets last year, Chinese citizens are also using their 50,000 annual Forex purchase quotas to move money into cryptocurrency accounts in the territory. Under Chinese rules, the money can only be used for purposes such as overseas travel or education. China's economic downturn, quote, has made investment on the mainland risky, uncertain, and disappointing. So people are looking to allocate assets offshore, said a senior executive Hong Kong-based cryptocurrency exchange. Bitcoin and crypto assets have attracted such investors, he said, quote, almost every day we see mainland investors coming into the market. As retail investors make a dash for cryptocurrencies, China's brokers and other financial institutions aren't far behind. Starved of growth opportunities at home, many of them are exploring crypto-related businesses in Hong Kong. Quote, if you are a Chinese brokerage facing a sluggish stock market, weak demand for IPOs, shrinking in other businesses, you need a growth story to tell your shareholders and the board. The Hong Kong subsidiary of Bank of China, China Asset Management, and Harvest Fund Management are all exploring businesses in the territory that deal in digital assets. Goes on to say, access to Bitcoin isn't that difficult on the mainland. Exchanges such as OKX and Binance still offer trading services. We talked about that. But it goes on to say, despite being banned, the Chinese crypto market recorded an estimated $86 billion in raw transactions volume between July 2022 and June 2023, dwarfing Hong Kong, which witnessed $64 billion in crypto trading. So think about that for a sec, right? Because that is signal right there. Okay, it's estimated that still roughly 15 to 10% of the hash rate is still located in mainland China. They have a total ban on this thing, and still there's $86 billion worth of raw transaction volume. Okay, and then connect the dots with what is happening worldwide in terms of people using, specifically, to be honest and fair, it's really Tether, right? But it's an alternative to their local fiat currencies. And that's what's happening. That phenomenon is happening worldwide, right? If you specifically in countries, like if your country has a high inflation rate, more than likely a percentage of the population has already opted out for an alternative. And I truly believe that Tether, you know, and we had Samson on the other day, a couple of days ago, and he said it too, right? Tether is like a step in the right direction. It's like getting people's feet wet with what's going on, right? And because people have been conditioned, like if you live in these countries and you get your hands on the dollar, even if the dollar is suffering through like 10% inflation, it's still gonna, the dollar is gonna be king in your country, right? So people have been accustomed and, you know, they grew up in an environment where they want to hold on to dollars. But I think really what we're going to see in the next 5 to 10 years is there's a better currency, right? Now there's a better alternative. The dollar was the best alternative out of all the shit fiat currencies, but now there's an even better option. I think people are going to wake up to this. But look, this is why Bitcoin is going to win. You want to know why it's going to win? Right there. There's an example of it. There's no amount of coercion and government propaganda and scary words that's going to change Bitcoin's incentives. Bitcoin incentives are amazing, right? It's number go up technology. It's going up forever, Laura. There's a cap supply. It helps you if you take self-custody. If you live in a totalitarian regime, it allows you to vote with your feet, right? Those are all qualities of Bitcoin. Even with the ETF this morning that they announced publicly the address, right? And I took a screenshot of it, that announcement. I said, you can't do that with gold. Right. You can't do that with gold. You know, it's like unique to Bitcoin. Right. Bitcoin with gold, you're limited by its physical characteristics. It's very heavy. You can't send it instantaneously overseas. Right. With Bitcoin, that changes the conversation. So this is extremely exciting. And this tells me that we're winning hard. Right. In the most totalitarian, like one of the most totalitarian regimes on planet Earth, there was still $86 billion worth of transaction volume. And that's telling me that the populace there is like, yeah, I like your laws, but this thing is dope. That's what that's telling me. So we're winning. This is what winning looks like. And I mean, we speculated. We made the case as to why this was going to happen. And really, I think the hash rate example is a great, it's a great example of Bitcoin's incentives, right? Let me see if I can kind of zoom in here. That was a bad idea. Let's go back. There we go. Okay. Well, on this chart, it's not so pronounced. Maybe if I could zoom in a little bit, right? But I've made the case for you guys many times that I believe the 2021 bull market was cut short because the hash rate drop and essentially those miners were relocating overseas. And why did this happen? Well, this happened because the CCP banned Bitcoin mining. They banned Bitcoin within their borders, right? And within like 9 months to a year, the hash rate not only recovered, but it started making all-time highs, and that hash rate decentralized in the process, right? And many years down the road, there's still a percentage of Bitcoin miners that are in China, number one. And number two, people are still trading it even if it's banned, right? Like that should tell you everything you need to know about Bitcoin's incentives and how hard we're winning. Anyways, what's your take on this? And then we'll
get Sean. Let's get Sean to pop in. I'm probably said this all the time, so I'd like to hear him, and then I'll rant a little bit.
There's a couple of interesting things I think in regards to China. I think in 2021, I was reading this morning on the World Economic Forum site, they've put out a pretty good article saying they banned it due to national security and social stability. And of course, they throw in money laundering and tax evasion. But for them to know that money was flowing out, they are panicking at a higher level. And they do put out propaganda for people. But so many people are waking up and realizing that, okay, if they're speaking bad about it, maybe this is something I need to pay attention to. Another $86 billion. That's huge. That's a whole lot of money going there for something that's made illegal. And was it in 2021, gentlemen, with that Chinese official and I'm not sure what ended up happening with him, but his basically helping push these Bitcoin miners through and giving them cheap electricity and stuff. And he got in a whole lot of trouble. But it doesn't matter what level of government or what level or just being a citizen, people are just starting to realize that we need to go to a harder money. And I guess what you're saying earlier is the dollar is a good start. It is a better store of value than, say, the Turkish lira. People are naturally going to be incentivized. It's digital through Tether. Well, what's the next step? Digital gold. It's Bitcoin. And that's making it pretty simple. But it's pretty exciting to see that even at being banned that people like, no, like you're not going to stop me and you can't stop an idea which time has come.
100%.
Love it.
Bitcoin's time has definitely come. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on this, bro?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I really do believe that the China ban is like such a pivotal turning point in the whole Bitcoin experiment and in the Bitcoin narrative. Like, if China can't stop Bitcoin, like, I just don't think that there's weight to the idea that the U.S. can also stop Bitcoin. I know that's like a common theme right now, is that like, oh, what if America bans Bitcoin? It's like, guys, this is a global phenomenon. You know, China already tried this. I can't even remember how many obituaries there are coming out of China about them banning Bitcoin and how it's over. And you just love to see that Chinese individuals themselves know why they would want to own a money that is outside the state apparatus. Like, to me, this is such a perfect thought experiment, especially when you understand just some rudimentary basics of what goes on in China. They already basically have a CBDC system. We know Musk is talking about doing like a WeChat for the West and all that. And I just love to see that there is freedom-minded individuals in every corner of the world, and they understand like, hey, you can try to stop Bitcoin. What do we always say? You know, you can't ban Bitcoin. You can only ban yourself from Bitcoin. And you just love to see that there's further proof in every corner around the world that people will find a way to be free. And that's just like a very, I don't know, maybe feel good narrative. It's like, oh, okay. Like, humans don't want to be slaves. And if there is a technology that breaks the power of the state and the monopoly over money, they will use it. They will find a way no matter what. And while you were covering this, Nico, I was reminded of the thought experiment of what happened in Nigeria. Remember that last year we covered it all the time. Nigeria tried to roll out a CBDC and the citizens there just wholly rejected it. And just seeing little tidbits like this going around the world where, like, look, if you are in a position of power as a government official and you try to ban freedom technology, people will find a way around this. And I know a lot of times, and you're even joking, calling me cynic Fields and nihilist Fields, everyone in the chat, you know, it's very easy to get blackpilled in the face of clown world, but it just goes to show that humans will find a way. And if you show them that there is a solution to the world's problem, if you show them that there is freedom money, they will eventually find their way to freedom money. And yes, we all know that, you know, the dollar, it's like a step from your very bad currencies to the dollar, considering this is the world reserve currency. But all roads lead to Bitcoin. And it's only a matter of time until people realize what the game is. As more and more politicians and governments and central bankers overstep their boundaries and try to steal our liberties, people will eventually end up on Bitcoin. And just, it makes you feel hopeful that, yes, okay, we are winning, we will win, and it's only a matter of time. It really is an education game. Or rather, as we've been covering, it's a narrative, narrative trench warfare right now. Like, the powers that be have the control of the narrative. And, you know, like what we're doing here with today on Simply Bitcoin, what Sean does on his channel, like, we are actively trying to propagate the meme so more people realize that, hey, there is an alternative here. Like, there is an out here. There is an escape route. And you don't have to just take the abuse from these state apparatus. Like, we have a solution. It's called Bitcoin. It's only a matter of time until everyone figures this out. And hey, it just goes to show we still have a job for a little bit talking about Bitcoin until everyone realizes, oh my God, it's so obvious. Of course, I should own some Bitcoin.
It was obvious the entire time. Yeah. Anyways, they'll say it was obvious the entire time. Anyways, I don't know, bro. It regrets me that I didn't buy Bitcoin in 2011, 2013.
Okay. Everybody feels that pain. Everyone feels that. No matter when they get in.
It's such a tough pill to swallow. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, I do want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Bitcoin Evangelism. We have to orange pill 10 million people. Bitcoin Evangelism by Brian DeMint is an absolute beast of a resource for orange pilling no coiners, all coiners alike. This is a book for Bitcoiners who know Bitcoin but have a hard time explaining it to their friends. It's a book for Bitcoiners who are trying to explain Bitcoin only to all coiners, available on Amazon. So if you have a brother, a mother, a father, a sister who for some reason they still read Elizabeth Warren's tweets on Bitcoin, you can get yourself this book and it will arm you with the tools to how to properly approach those types of people. Anyways, I also do want to give a shout out to our other sponsor, Cabin. Oh my God. They're the most trusted place to buy, sell, and host mining equipment. You got to check out the racks. You can do that by scanning the QR code on your screen right now. It'll take you directly to their Telegram marketplace, or you can connect with a member of their sales team. They make purchasing easy and transparent. You could also sell your mining equipment with them. You could access their vast network of domestic and international customers. This is where I buy and sell my miners. Guys, check out Kabam Racks today. All right, everybody, let's hit the culture. We could talk to Sean, see what's going on over there. Ciao.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, guys. Well, you guys already know the deal on the culture. We talk to our guests, let them give a platform so they can rant. But Sean, you just dropped this video. I think it was yesterday, a few hours ago. So we haven't played this clip yet on our show. So let me just start there. I will play this clip for people, and then I think we'll get some good rants going from here. So shouts out to Jack Maulers on Yahoo Finance. Just absolute mic drop moment. Just, oh man, he's the GOAT. Like, shouts out to Jack Maulers. All right, let's play this little clip for you guys. If you haven't seen this, very, very good testament to the idea of breaking the echo chamber. And shouts out to the drinking game on YouTube, breaking the Overton window. So let's play this clip real quick.
In Bitcoin specifically, you had the JP Morgan CEO and chairman Jamie Dimon calling it essentially pet rock, and once again calling into question its worth and its value here. I would love to get your reaction, especially as some of the financial industry elites and figureheads are continuing to cast some doubt here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brad. What do I think about Jeffrey Epstein's banker being concerned that a distributed, decentralized, open public money could potentially be used for bad things, sitting on a ski resort in Davos? I don't really care. I don't know why anyone cares, right? I mean, that guy knows when money's used for bad things. So it's a weird opinion of his. And my pet rock was up, as you said, 160% last year. It performed well against the dollar. So I don't know. I don't really care what that guy has to say about Bitcoin. I don't know why anybody does.
Shouts out to Pet Rock. Shouts out to the Pet Rocks.
Yo, hashtag bro. Whoa. My Pet Rock is amazing, dude.
My Pet Rock's amazing. All right, Sean, what's your thoughts
just
on this?
Call it Pet Rock from now on?
Yeah, Pet Rock Maxi.
Stop what you're doing right now and stack some sex.
Pet Rocks.
Pet Rocks. But anyways.
Pet Pebbles.
Yeah,
he's a bowler, hey?
Yeah, you did a video on this. Let's rant on this a little bit. And if you want to, you can also connect it to, you know, talking smack on the World Economic Forum and then maybe the globalists at large.
Well, the globalists are definitely know that they're losing. But for Jack Maulers to be calling Jamie Dimon, I think he's better known for, as Epstein's banker, he's not calling him a pedo, but he's been pretty brutal there on mainstream news. But even just, and it's like the mirror opposite. So Jamie Dimon was CNBC and said, like, for help me God, I never want to talk about this shit ever again. And then Jack Maulers given the exact opposite side. So regardless of who it is, whether it's Trump, Vivek, RFK, DeSantis, Elizabeth Warren, JP Morgan, everybody is talking about Bitcoin. That video that you played earlier at the start as well. The conversation of Bitcoin is absolutely everywhere. And I think they're starting to get scared, and that's why they're going to continue to get louder. Like the emails and stuff that must go on between Elizabeth Warren and Jamie Dimon talking about tax evasion, money laundering and stuff. It's just the same playbook. There's these speaking points and people... We need to do it for the kids. We need to protect you more and more. They're truly panicking because we are seeing, like what Nico and Opti were saying earlier, people are seeking out more and more independent media. And there's that lady, and I don't know her name, but there's that video, and I'll play it later today, where she was at the World Economic Forum, and she was high up there in traditional media, and said like they're losing control. People are now asking for more truth. They want to know where this information is coming from, and they want to see both sides. So I think they're getting very scared. But some of the things that are going on with like Jamie Dimon, so he came out a couple of years ago with his stance against it, and then not too long later, like a couple of weeks, he did say, after I put that out, his daughter texted him and said, "Dad, I own 2 Bitcoin." And I think we're seeing like this everywhere. Do they need to have their kids and stuff buy it? Like Jamie Dimon, of course he owns Bitcoin. He's just not talking about it becoming the AP for BlackRock and stuff. They're getting scared. But I don't think it's going to last for very long. And truth is always going to prevail. That's what happens with Bitcoin. People just start to understand it takes a little bit of time, but regardless how they come there, and they're getting louder and louder, but any news is good news. So the louder they get, the more scared they get, the more people are going to hear about Bitcoin, and some of those people will actually look into it. And I think probably most people here will know in their lives that people are more opening to at least hearing about Bitcoin than what they used to be, say, 3 or 4 years ago, because they're suffering inflation and they understand that something's not quite right. And they're waking up to like these guys dancing with injections and stuff and all coming around, like the whole world coordinate, and they go to the World Economic Forum and then they all say this doublespeak everywhere around the world, and people are realizing, okay, is there an agenda here? And I think it's an exciting time. Jack Muller's calling out Jamie Dimon was pretty fantastic. Truly, he's a goat, eh?
He's a goat.
I love how you pronounce it, Jamie Dimon. The hashtag Jamie Dimon in the chat.
Hold on. I'm going to interject here. I'm going to interject. Uh-oh. Opti, okay? Opti's misbehaving today, so he's not going to... Nego and Sean.
Sorry, Opti.
You're going to be in trouble.
No, I'm going to interject here. So I don't think that they're necessarily evil, except for Klaus, okay? Klaus, undeniable. That guy, something's going on there, right?
Maybe just on that quickly... You are like the 5 people you hang around, and all these people. So if Klaus is evil, by default, everyone else is close.
I don't think Klaus has friends.
He's got minions.
Yeah, but they're close to him. They spend time, even if they're not friends. If they're in his vicinity, by default, they're evil. There's no other way about it, you know. And the only people that have balls is like people like Harvey MLA going up there and just feeding it back to him. Like, my God, they're never going to let him back. They probably will, because they need to be seen as woke and doing the right thing. But they don't realize that people are waking up. Anyway, sorry to cut you off, Nico, but they are all evil.
No, I mean, so what I would say is the comments today are savage. Skip down the road says Max Kaiser calls him a tapeworm. Okay, so
Max Kaiser's pretty right.
I would say Keith says crushing others to pursue your own interests is evil. Okay, so I would say that I think that these people have grown up in an unaligned incentive structure system that brings out the worst in humanity. And I think that all these bankers and all these people that work for these like corporations and the so-called globalists and all that, I think that they're just people trying to pay their mortgages like the rest of us. But I think that unlike the rest of us, they're within the fiat elite and they benefit from the system, but the system incentivizes them to kind of act against the rest of humanity, right? It's like a, you know, an elite few benefit while everyone else loses. And I think you can interpret that as evil behavior. I don't think that they're twirling their mustaches saying, ha ha ha, you know, except for Klaus. Like he says,
Klaus doesn't have a mustache.
He doesn't give a fuck. Yeah. He says the quiet part out loud. Like perhaps maybe you can make that guy the case that guy's evil. Like, and he fucking looks evil, and he sounds like a Bond villain. There needs to be a great reset, and we need a great reset for this world.
Oh,
like,
man.
Okay, like, whatever. So maybe you can make the case that guy's evil, okay? But the rest of those people, I mean, we had Michelle Weekly on the show, Opti. You remember that episode? Like, she was talking about it. I think that the fiat just brings out the worst in people. And I think that that's what you're seeing here. I really believe that you're seeing a system with misaligned incentives. And those misaligned incentives happen to hurt the rest of the population. I think that's why you're seeing the rise of globalism. That's why you're seeing the rise of these, you know, giant nanny states or the administrative states, whatever you like to call them. And it's all fueled by fiat. Without fiat, I don't think you would have that much. You wouldn't have as much corruption. You wouldn't have these like global organizations. Governments wouldn't be able to control the money flows like they've been able to because they're the ones that, you know, control the money. So yeah, I really believe that. I you know, maybe Klaus, you could say, is evil. I have a hard time believing that everyone that goes to Davos is necessarily evil. I just think that they're working in a system that incentivizes quote unquote evil behavior. Not from their perspective. They probably think they're doing what's best for the world, right?
Of course.
But anyways, that's my take.
I mean, listen, if you guys didn't see yesterday's episode, I think Nolan kind of summed it up pretty well. It's like, you know, the financialization of everything incentivizes certain behavior, and it's really, you know, stolen the future from everyone else. And now we're dealing with these consequences. Anyway, Sean, if you want to respond to that, or I can tee you up to another question.
No, well, I guess just talking about Nolan yesterday when he was saying World War III would be a war of propaganda and a war more of the mind instead of hot wars. So yes, it's a little bit simplistic saying that they're all evil. Everyone's probably trying to do the best they can with what they've got. But like these two gentlemen are saying, if the incentive structure is to print money and that affects 90% of the world's population or 90% of that nation's population, and they know this and they do it anyway, because they do understand the impacts, for every action there's a reaction. If they do that willingly for their own incentives, that is still an evil action. On a Bitcoin standard, that can't happen, or wars can still happen, but they'll happen less and less, and people will be held accountable. So yes, it's due to fear, but if you do something bad, then it's a bad action. Maybe it doesn't make you a bad person, but it's still a bad thing that's happened in the world. So I definitely stick to them being evil. Not everyone, but...
Let's go. All right. Sean, as a fellow content creator, I'd like to ask this same question because, you know, Nico and I, we always try to make sure that we're not just blinded by our own confirmation bias and what we're seeing. So as a fellow content creator, do you also believe that we are seeing a pendulum shift towards people wanting truth, or is this just us, you know, seeing what we want to believe?
I guess that's pretty hard, but I guess like what I was saying earlier, in the last 3 or 4 years, people weren't really willing to talk about what happened in March 2020 and the way of the world, but people are feeling so much pain. So they're starting to seek questions. Like, that's a survival trait. People want to feel the best they can. So I think we are seeing more and more people. And like in my comment section, I'm seeing a lot of people, 65, 70s, 82 years old, that are stacking Bitcoin and stuff. And that's a huge step change to be able to keep up with technology and learn something new. Like, my granddad was a very smart man. He never learned to understand, and he was an engineer and came from first principles. So people that are a need. So yes, I do think we live in an echo chamber, but I think that echo chamber is growing bigger and bigger and is continuing to get bigger. I don't think it's like slowly then suddenly, you know, like it takes a trickle to come in, but that's still water piling up. So more people are coming here, but maybe I'm still in that echo bubble as well. And that's what I want to believe, but it doesn't take a huge majority of people to be aware and know something's wrong, because it's only like many voices, you know, if it's 10 million people worldwide or something really talking about it, that spreads pretty quickly.
Absolutely. Love it. I mean, that's great, dude, to hear about, you know, the older generations, they're stacking as well. And in our experience, yeah, like, you know, there's some legendary Bitcoin boomers, right, that are, you know, they're just They're toxic as fuck. Toxic in a good way, false. I might add.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. And it's so awesome to see the older generations as well, because they're just as enthusiastic, right? They're just
And they've got
as,
all the money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They have the lion's share of the world's wealth, 100%. But that's why I'm so excited for, like, the next decade or so. You're going to see this great... transition of that. A lot of that wealth is going to start to hit the Gen Xers and the millennials. So that's going to be really interesting when that happens.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. Well, last thing. Well, not the last thing. The other thing you wanted to talk about before the show, it might be kind of a hard pivot. You were talking about the SEC getting hammered, the GBTC stuff going on. So maybe you want to jump in on that topic real quick.
Obviously, everyone's been following it as arbitrary and capricious what the SEC did for so many years, preventing people to be able to cash in and on Grayscale. So Grayscale really cornered the market. Obviously, we've seen a whole lot of sell pressure, but the price is whatever the price is, $39,800 at the moment. Even with 10,000 coins being offloaded every single day, the market's sucking it up. So it's not something to worry about, but to see people like Gary Gensler, who was so for Bitcoin and blockchain technology, he used to teach on it. Then he goes into the SEC, and whoever paid him to delay for so long, it's an incredible time to be here, but they've lost now. Like, even how bitter Gary was that Bitcoin ETF got approved, but they can't stop it now. And I guess that just goes back to, you can't stop an idea whose time has come. So Bitcoin's going to continue to win, and they're going to continue to be sour, and maybe we get some of these shit coins and stuff come onto the market through ETFs and stuff, whatever allows people to, maybe they come in and they learn about digital assets. What's the number one digital asset? It's Bitcoin. So that was my journey as well. So I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing, but it's nice to know that the SEC is being hammered. And again, like what you're saying, Nico, not everyone is bad. The SEC is not an evil company. They're trying their best, whatever incentive structure was going on with Gary Gensler and how it went on. But the courts actually ruled positively. Yes, still hold real Bitcoin. It gives you price exposure. But again, it goes back to all the boomers. It allows them, they trust BlackRock, they trust Fidelity, and when they can see it in something that's familiar to them, I think it's all a win. I don't want to rail against them too hard. Gary Gensler's probably not going to be there for too many years either, so it's probably not something we need to worry about. And we've got people like Hester Pierce and stuff that are reasonable, you know, and they truly understand what's going on, and it's they're not holding it back. And one thing I want to just say for everyone, it's a good book. The boys brought it up. It's a really incredible book. Enjoy.
Let's go.
All right, well, shout out Brian.
Sean, just based off your accent, I can only guess that you are not in America, or rather can look at what's going on in America from a more objective view. So do you even care about a spot Bitcoin ETF being approved in America? What's going on with the SEC? Like, as a non-objective view of what's going on Bitcoin globally, what's your thoughts on all this?
Well, I'm definitely still biased because I'm in Bitcoin, but having the ETF and the states being the US superpower, it's one of the most beautiful countries in the world. But that aside, as a global economic power, the USA is number one. And for them to give the green light for the ETF, it's huge. Hong Kong's now talking about, they're trying to rush it through. They basically want to have one as soon as possible. It makes it a legitimate asset. And BlackRock owns the world. Like, there's the US, there's China, and then there's BlackRock for, like, global superpowers. And BlackRock's a private company. So for that to be happening, like, everyone over here, I went to a party, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, November last year, and I was talking to someone, what do you do? I'm into Bitcoin, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh yeah, that's a scam. I'm like, well, it's not actually. And we've got the head of BlackRock, and he was a very wealthy guy. We've got the head of BlackRock saying it's a flight to quality. And he's like, oh, so what's the ticker? And I said, you can only buy it, like, on an on exchange at the moment, a crypto Bitcoin only exchange. He's like, no, just wait till the ETF comes out. Now, at that time, Bitcoin, I think, was at like 27,000 or whatever, and it's gone up to 40,000. So people are willing to lose out a little bit on price exposure until there is something backing it, but it's going to make a rapid fire, like that war of nation states adopting it. Like it has started with the US and with BlackRock specifically. I don't think we potentially would have got the ETF as quick if BlackRock hadn't stepped into the plate, and they're incentivized to make as much money as possible. So they're going to keep advertising it for it, but obviously, I'm still going to be biased because it will lead. They're sucking up a lot of coins. Bitcoin's number go up technology. So maybe not straight away. We thought maybe potentially after the ETF was approved, straight to $1 million, you know, Samson Miao calling $1 million, having a little bit of a jest days after. But Bitcoin's either going to zero or $1 million, and now it's become a legitimate asset. That's what the ETF has done for the rest of the world, basically.
Yeah, I literally had this conversation with my dad this morning. He like, I forget what he said. He's like, what's this like a W2F thing? I'm like, the ETF? It's like, yeah, we basically just got legitimized in the eyes of the world. So hate it all you want. It's happening in real time. But anyways, strong pivot. Sean, let's plug your YouTube channel, what you're working on. What's the goal over here? And let's hopefully get some of our viewers to collaborate and go onto your channel as well.
Yeah, I always jump over and say, g'day. G'day means good day in Australia. So today's Fuck Off Friday, Monday to Thursday, Australian Eastern Standard Time. Keep it pretty PG. We'll get through and I won't swear all too much, but Friday's just a day to be able to have a little bit of a banter with the community, to be able to talk, to be able to bring up these demonic people and go and just rail against them, let off a little bit of steam, but just realize that we're all here. And what you two guys say is kill them with memetic warfare. That's how we win, like comedy, laughter, entertainment. If we can get that out with truth attached, people are going to resonate. But whole lot of fun. So come in there. There's obviously some good interviews as well with people like Greg Foss, Natalie Brunel, and even Matt Hogan from Bitwise, the chief investment officer, the other day got to ask him some really hard questions. So, yeah, come over and say hi. I'll reply to you in the comments, but that's me.
Oh, it's awesome, dude.
Let's go. All right, one last question.
I think I went on your show once to do one of the interviews, which I had a lot of fun on.
You think you did, man. It was such an amazing conversation. And for anyone that doesn't know Nico's journey, mining out of helicopters and stuff is absolutely insane. So, like, crazy stuff going on. So I thought that was really fun. That was one of my funnest interviews. That's under videos as well. So if you want to dive a little bit more into Nico and Opti, I'd love to have you on and dive into your backstory as well. That'd be awesome. But that was a lot of fun.
I really enjoyed that. Thanks for having me. You're a great interviewer.
Of course, definitely. And then just on the last point, you know, we do talk about breaking the echo chamber, memetic warfare, and really what we're doing here is trying to change the narrative. And, you know, like, what's your thoughts on this? Is the only way from here moving forward is just having these conversations and try to spread this signal? Or is it just FOMOing and people FOMOing the price? Like, what's your views on this?
Number go up is a pretty good incentive. Like, people will really start paying attention to Bitcoin once it hits $69,000. Again, that's just people are incentivized by greed, and anyone that says they're not here for greed reasons, at least initially. So I definitely see things shifting pretty quick. And my apologies, Opti. It's 4 a.m. here. Would you just be able to say the second half of that question?
I don't even remember what I just said. I think it's just is the only way forward educating people.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I kind of think that, like, I it's being Cynic Fields again today. like, I really don't think people need to read books or listen to 1,000 hours of Bitcoin podcasts to get what's going on here. Like, I think just people experiencing Bitcoin might be the best way moving forward. And as the price goes up, people will just start to be incentivized, or rather, you know, greedily incentivized to go into Bitcoin. And that's all that we really need to do, is just make sure that Bitcoin doesn't die on our watch. So are we basically beating our head against the wall trying to educate people, or does Number Go Up do this for all of us, even though like our job is to educate people?
Well, I think it's different strokes for different folks. Hey? Like if you're having a conversation with someone, the easiest way to orange pill them is find out what their pain point is. Like, is the cost of living too high, and be able to relate to them one-on-one. But then other people will want to hear it on mainstream media. They will go and they'll read Forbes, for example, or they'll hear Bloomberg analysts. Otherwise, some people get this through the memes on Twitter or long posts or articles, or, you know, like I've got some beautiful magazines by the Bitcoin Times, or people read the books. Bitcoin's like so varied. Other people are going to come in from a technology point of view, from the mining side of things. But there's so many roads that lead to Bitcoin. And I guess that's why it's so good to have so many different people talking about it, you know, online, on YouTube, on X. So while we may specifically target a certain audience, they will have friends, and maybe one video of ours out of five resonates with a certain type of person. Like, Fuck Off Fridays is not for everyone. and that's why I'm pretty careful with it. But if we can talk to people at their, like, with them, like sort of from a lived or a living experience point of view, I think that's the way that we win. And it's continuing to happen.
100%.
100%. All right, Nico, before you pop in, there was a question. Sean, what is that background right there? People want to know what that website is.
Yeah, so I think Julian, I can't remember who first posted it. I'll have to give him credit. Maybe Cooligan Fields, but it's bitfeed.live. It's absolutely awesome.
Yeah,
it's so cool. B-I-T-F-E-E-D.
I love all the different ways that you could visualize the mempool.
It's so cool.
But yeah, that's such a great interaction, and, you know, a great great background, and it's like, you know, interactive, and it's like moving, it's dynamic, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff. Anyways, Sean, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's been
today,
a pleasure.
Brother. Really appreciate it.
Wait, I forget for our guests. Sorry, Nico. The last thing, what is the last message you want to leave with the audience?
Oh, boom, there you go.
Oh yeah, just stack and chill, ladies and gentlemen. Like, don't
stack
worry
and
about
chill.
It's super simple. Like, if there's a red day, because we're going to see $10,000-$20,000 drops, that's going to happen. Like, both on the upside and the downside. So if you start to push, I call it the red button when there's a big red day. If you can get ready for it to move down 1%, 1.5%, 5%, if you have a 30 or 50% drop, especially after the blow off top, you're good with it, and have a longer term time frame. So look at 3, 5, 10, 15 years. But if you can just look out and you don't overinvest, don't be irresponsible where you don't have food for your family, clothing, and where you're not sleeping at night. That makes absolutely no sense. There's no point getting your wealth sorted if you lose your health. But if you can get that and just chill out, enjoy the ride, like, it's going to get volatile as fuck, but it's going to be a whole lot of fun as long as you're not overinvested. And being overinvested, not financial advice, maybe it'll work out, but is your mental health worth it? Probably not. So just do what you're comfortable with so you can ride the volatility and have a long-term time frame. And Bitcoin is Number Go Up technology, true on our side, so we're winning. And just share Bitcoin content, like this video, to be able to get that out, because people need to understand that. And they're going to start printing more money this year. Like, that's not 100% certain, but it's 98.99% certain. So be prepared, and allow your friends and family to be prepared as well.
100%.
Wait, Nico, I'm going to cut you off again. You know how you were talking about your friend in China?
Are you gonna do the accent?
Yeah, I think what Sean says is exactly what I say all the time, and it's so amazing that we all have this same perspective, the same language, the same operating system in every corner of the world, and we're all saying the same thing. It's like, guys, you know, get your mind right, get your body right, stack as much Bitcoin as possible, but you also have to survive through this transition. And Sean, couldn't agree more.
Let's go.
100%. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, that was our show. Sean, thank you so much for coming on. Really, really appreciate it. Keep kicking ass.
Tell the audio listeners where to find you.
Yeah, so just G'day Bitcoin, G-D-A-Y Bitcoin. And I go live 5:35 Australian Eastern Standard Time, 7:35 p.m. UTC.
Hell yeah. Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on
the show. It's been a pleasure. Keep up the good work, gentlemen.
Appreciate it, dude. Thank you so much. Anyways, guys, that was our show. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. But the number one thing you could do to help push the peaceful Bitcoin revolution is share Bitcoin content. We have to win over the culture. Anyways, I'm your host, Nico. This is my legendary co-host, Opti, who I am censoring. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. Peace out, everybody.